Okay, guys, we talked about setting the tempo. Now we got a chance.
If we want to get back, we got to be hungry.
This is a 60-minute affair, one play at a time.
Time now for the final drive, featuring Eric Messersmith, TJ Moe, and Mark Lillibridge on 590 The Fan.
I feel really official now that we have that fancy intro here on the final drive. It only took a few months, but better late than never.
Not always.
Eric Messersmith.
Oftentimes, I want never.
TJ Moe. We do not see Bridge yet.
Bridgie, he texted me and said maybe late depending on traffic. And I have great perception skills here. I'm perceiving there's probably traffic.
Yeah. Well, you're late, Bridge. It's okay. We'll hold the fort down until you get here, buddy. Don't hurt yourself.
I see him.
He's moments away. Giamatti is here spinning the dials.
Dude, there's not one thing on there
he's spinning it. Todd Furman, former odds maker at Caesar's Palace of Bet the Board podcast, will do his weekly visit with us coming up at 4:30.
All right.
We'll make him pick some of these games. A really good slate of NFL games. You got the Saturday games this week with no college football. So it's a big NFL weekend. The Saturday night game, Chiefs and Chargers should be pretty good. And we'll also talk to Mike Evans coming up at 5:30. He'll give us his unique take on the world of football. The Bud Light text line is 855-282-8255. Bud Light, the official beer of the final drive, 855-282-TALK.
All right.
If you want to weigh in. Mizzou, TJ, making some coaching news. They hired a linebacker coach yesterday, Vernon Hargraves. Today, an offensive line coach, Brad Davis.
Yes, he is formerly now of your Florida Gators.
That didn't take long.
No,
I mean, they hired an offensive line coach quick.
Well, yeah. So
Ellerby just left on
all right,
a week from today.
I had been thinking about
this. A week prior to today.
This is very anti-Gary Pinkel, the way this has been done holistically. Because Pinkel, he prided himself always on having a contingency plan for everything. He always said, we got a plan for everything. When Odom left to go to Memphis, Alex Grinch was the first guy on the list. And he said, well, this is my nephew, I'm not sure. And everybody said, no, he's really good. By the way, Alex Grinch is the single hottest defensive coordinator name in college football right now. So that was a good hire. It didn't matter who it was. There was always a guy that he had. There were contingency plans for absolutely everything. It kind of feels like there wasn't one here for the offensive coordinator. There was, certainly. By the way, I was told like 2 weeks ago about Vernon Hargraves. So that's been in place for a while here. They just decided to announce, but that had been in place for a while. And offensively, I'm not sure how long this has been in place, but I think he had guys in mind for that. And I'm wondering what it is about the offensive coordinator thing that's taking quite a while.
People are pointing out that this Davis fellow was the O-line coach at a school called North Texas in 2016, where he worked with Graham Harrell.
That's right.
Saying, so Graham Harrell rumored to be a candidate for any offensive coordinator job.
Yeah, I have heard so little about him as it relates to Mizzou. So I don't think that's your guy.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's it. And Gabe agrees that is not the connection there.
Mark Lillibridge is here in the house. What's up, Bridge?
Hi, guys.
You were the one who suggested a few weeks ago that Josh Heupel maybe would get a job, a head coaching job. Not a lot of people at that time. I hadn't heard a lot about it, him getting a head coaching job. And then a few days later, he went to Central Florida. So you had a source, didn't you?
I got people.
You got people. So what do you think about
it? You didn't think it'd be that big of a job, though, huh?
I did, actually. I actually said I thought it would be if Frost left, I thought he would be the perfect candidate for Central Florida. Because at that point, then it came out, like a couple days later after I said it, it came out about the South Alabama job, that he was rumored for that job. And I thought that'd be okay. But Heupel fits exactly what they're looking for. And the way he coached down the stretch with a hot coach, that was just, it fit what Central Florida was looking for. So I thought that was great. I do think I will agree with you on this, TJ. Just from reading the tea leaves, and again, I don't have the source. Of course, I didn't play there like you did. I'm not a record holder like you are at Mizzou.
What record is that?
I ran around some cones pretty quick one time.
Yeah, he's got the most third down conversions or something, I think, right?
No.
Gotta be. Gotta be, because that's about all you did.
We're in third down a lot.
That's fair. That's how you move the chains. But it was, I think Ellerby leaving caught owed him off guard. I will agree with that. And I think that was that one hurt. It seemed like it stung him a little bit, like he felt like he kind of owed him a little
bit.
There
was something weird there.
It was.
It's almost like he told him he was going to stay and then changed his mind.
Right.
I mean, I'm just reading, because normally when a coach leaves, that's not the reaction of the head coach.
No,
the reaction is, I wish you the best. Good luck.
Well, he said that about Heupel,
right?
And he was very, very complimentary of Josh of leaving.
Yeah.
And then when Glenn left, it was almost like you could see like the wind knocked out of him.
Well, there was a lot more to that.
Yeah, and I'm sure, and I'm sure that'll come out at some point, and or maybe it doesn't. Maybe they try to keep it in house. But that was tough. I really would have though. I'm not mad about them hiring Davis, and I think you need to. I would have liked to see what they would have let John, if John Cooper got bumped up and was going to be able to be the offensive line coach for the bowl game. I wonder if they'll still allow him to do that. I hope that they will.
I would imagine they would.
Just to be able to kind of keep some continuity going on with the, you know, kind of let Davis almost learn from John Cooper. But I like that, because that's what the other thing I do like that I thought where Pinkel was good is kind of keeping it in-house and promoting from within. And that's where I was a little bit, because, you know, when I saw Cooper get the job, I was kind of like, all right, maybe that's just, that's a natural progression. You kind of have the guys you're going to, you know, like Finley and you know, right. other guys, you kind of just keep moving them up.
That's how you keep people?
Right, it is.
Your problem is, and this worked well for Pinkel, which was just amazing, but people never left. That's the
that's
thing.
That's exactly right.
Right? You're stuck in a spot where, okay, you had Henson and brought him up. Like, Yost didn't really leave. He said, I am so burnt out, I got to be out of football for a while.
Well, yeah, I mean, even Steckel, I mean, was there for a long time until finally.
Steckel there forever.
I mean, he finally, at some point, you have to kind of go, and he probably knew that at some point, Pinkel was going to go, so hey, I'm going to go to Mo State. But I think Steckel probably had a lot of other job offers, higher paying job offers in bigger schools. You got to think with how awesome that defense was for so many years. So you're right. I think that Pinkel kept all those guys and did a really good job of keeping them all in house and promoting them, building that culture from within. And that's why I think Mizzou was so good for so long.
I read his book, and he talks about that, having his guys. And what he didn't like was having to reteach everybody everything. It's his system and the way he's going to go about it. So promoting from within made a lot of sense. It doesn't make as much sense with Odom because it's his system, but it's really his defensive system, and Josh Heupel ran the offense. So bringing a guy that's going to run your stuff, but you take care of it, that's the sense I get. I don't know that to be completely true. I'm not in their practices or meetings.
Bridge, who do you think might be a good fit for the offensive coordinator job?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know where Graham Harrell fits in this whole thing, again, because I don't know. Really, I don't know that much about him. I would think it's. I think you need to get a splash hire, and I think you need someone that has a little bit of juice, because right now, whoever you hire, your number one hire, and this is going to sound silly and it might sound stupid, your number one hire has to be a guy that can walk in the door and keep Drew Lock from going pro. That's how I would look at it.
Yeah, I just think it's less of a task than you think it is.
Okay, well, if you get someone, let's say you get an old school, kind of a, I don't know, a hardcore guy that doesn't get along with Drew. For me, I could see where if you rub him the wrong way, he could bounce.
There's so very little time to rub somebody the wrong way here, though.
Agreed.
You're going to have two conversations with him.
When's the grade come down? When does that
happen? He probably already has it.
Yeah.
Oh, you think he already has a grade?
You'll know. I mean, he doesn't have to declare until after
January 6th, I think.
Yeah. But, I mean, so he's got about a month or so. But I would just think that would be one of my here's how I would do it if I'm Odom, and I know you don't like to do this, and it's burned some coaches the wrong way, but some coaches it has had some success. You would like Drew Lock to have a little bit of say in who the coach is. Because not only it's his, I mean, it is now his offense. I mean, he has proven that he is the guy. And you want to be able to have him be comfortable with whoever that, because he had a great rapport with Josh. And you want to be able to have him still be able to have a good rapport. Well,
on the field he did.
He's doing on the field. Okay, that's fine. He's doing something right.
Here's
though.
What I'm getting at.
They won seven games or six games in a row. And the staff was getting fired after the Purdue game.
Yeah.
So whatever they did, it got Josh Heupel a head job. And Drew Lock is getting All-American, you know, accolades and all this other stuff. There's something good going on
there. So here's a couple things. About partway through the season, Josh Heupel moved up from the field up into the box. I think everybody started getting along a little better when that happened.
Probably right.
And secondly, when you listen to the ins and outs, I'm not sure anybody got along with Josh Heupel that well. So as far as just the getting along inside the building, you may be better off with whoever you bring in. And you may be better... The offense was awesome, and Josh Heupel clearly knows how to develop quarterbacks and very clearly can score a lot of points when he needs to. But I have heard, I have not spoken to Drew. I haven't spoken to Drew's family, and none of the coaches have told me this exactly. But I think Drew is heavily leaning towards returning. And this isn't regardless, but I think it has far less to do with the offense coordinator than one would think.
Okay, well, that's good to hear. I mean, that's for Mizzou fans, that's great.
Yeah.
Because you want this guy to come back.
And if that's the case, the reason I say that, now that's one less thing you got to worry about. Just put in a guy who you think is going to go out there and kick some butt on offense.
Right. Well, and that. But the other part with that, though, is, and this is where, as I'm putting on an agent hat, but I'm putting on a scout hat as well, is if I'm advising Drew Locke, you have to make sure that that guy comes in, though, and plays to your strengths. Whoever that offensive coordinator is the same guy that's going to call the game to do what you do
Absolutely.
Best. And that's one thing, give Josh Heupel his credit. If maybe he did rub guys the wrong way, when he's in somebody's helmet telling them, hey, let's run a skinny post, let's do this, X, whatever route you want to call or whatever offensive signal you want to call.
What is that, ZY banana?
Yeah, banana, whatever, too.
Spider Y banana, too.
Exactly. Call anything you want to. He knows how to call a game, and he proved that in the second half of the season. And maybe that was. Maybe he needed to move up to the box to be able to see, to be able to do that. That guy needs to be able to sell that same offense. And Drew Locke's stock is as high as it possibly could be right now. If he comes out right now, he's a first-round pick. And I think you need to, whoever is brought in here, no matter what, whoever comes into Mizzou has to be able to still sell him and his family that he's not going to be Matt Leinart, that he's going to come back and he's not going to, he has a chance. You're selling him that he's got a chance for Heisman, right? Monty Ball comes out as a junior after all those carries. He might have been higher than a third-round pick because he was at the max. Goes back a senior year to try to win a Heisman, help Wisconsin win a national championship. His stock dropped. The same thing happened to Matt Leinart.
Yeah.
That's all I'm just making sure. But that's one of those things. You got to make sure
the difference,
this
I would
guy
say,
fits.
Is raw ability. Because Leinart, well, listen, he was awesome. He won two national titles, all the different stuff. He didn't have the arm Drew Locke does.
Agreed.
So a lot of this, and you know this, I mean, you're scouting.
Sure.
There are so many people in the NFL that say, I'll fix it. Whatever that is, I'll fix it. When you got a guy that can run like that can move like that can throw like that, and I've seen it on film, and the offensive coordinator, he's had to learn three offenses in 4 years, I'll fix that, let's take him. Versus a running back, I think it's a little bit different. And Monty Ball still didn't slip past the second round. So
Right. Generally
when you have that much film, which – now Drew kind of does.
Sure.
Then I think you're okay. So, and the one thing is he's a third-generation Tiger. And
sure.
As much as everybody wants to downplay it, that plays into the decision.
And that's awesome. I just think that does have to play into who you hire, too. You don't want some schlub coming in here and making his – I mean, he's
– alienating him.
Yeah,
so,
exactly
so
right.
So if it's close, like if he's kind of on the fence and he's like, man, I don't know.
Well, tell me why it would be different. This is what I'm trying to get at. Why should it be any different? Like – you know who you have in there. Whoever you replace Drew with needs to be somewhat similar to Drew. You don't want to be a guy that's a big dude that just hands the ball off. You need to get a guy in there that can take advantage of all the talent that you've recruited because you have one of the best offensive lines in the country.
Sure.
One of the best running backs in the country in Demaria Crockett, and it appeared to be one of the best young running backs in the country in Larry Roundtree. And you got some receivers and maybe the best freshman tight end we've had since Chase Coffin. So you look around at all that stuff. Why wouldn't you go hire the same guy? What's the difference?
Well, because I think you also want someone that can relate to those guys as well. I'm not knocking. I think the trend right now is to go toward young and go toward former quarterbacks and go
Thank
toward
you, Sean McVay.
Right, exactly. And I think that kind of has become, I think it kind of actually started with Gruden, actually, when Gruden kind of got that, moved up in that hierarchy.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think, but that has kind of been the norm. And so that's what all I'm saying. It's like, I'm not, I don't know. I can't think
You're
of
not any... saying give him veto power. You're just saying it would probably be a good idea to run some names by him.
Right.
Maybe even introduce him to somebody.
Yeah, I just I'm not saying, like, let's just say, if I think it's got to be someone that I'm not saying it has to be relatable to him. It doesn't have to be able to talk on the same level as him. But someone that maybe he respects and knows, hey, this guy's got a pedigree and has a pedigree of winning. And because the other hard part is, you need someone, no matter where you go, you need someone that knows how to call plays and knows how to run an offense because, like you said, TJ, this was Josh Heupel's offense.
Mm-hmm.
Coach Odom didn't have a lot to do with this. Heck, he was the linebacker coach,
yep,
more like special teams coach, the defensive coordinator, and the head coach. And so now there's some of that taken off his table, of course, with Vernon Hargraves and the moves they've made this offseason. But it's not like Coach Odom's going to walk over and start calling offensive plays. So whoever that is, you need to have – I guess you want some youthful exuberance, but at the same point, someone that can handle that offense and be able to run it as efficiently as Josh Heupel did.
I know this. When I was
so that's why I would take a little bit of time to find the right guy.
When I was in college, I knew the name of about four offensive coordinators. So no matter who you bring up to Drew, he's going to be like, who's that?
Maybe.
I mean, you know, think about that. You're 19 or 20 years old, and you're like, I don't
know. Yeah, but I think, and again, yeah,
okay,
you're
everybody's
a
heard
bit...
of Mike Leach, but you mostly have heard of head coaches. Very few guys have heard anything about offensive coordinators.
But you know, I'm sure that's what Wikipedia is about and Google's about and looking it up. You're going to look up Graham Harrell. You're going to look up any of those names that
are
out there.
Yeah, and some of those guys that have played, you got. But that's unfair too, right? Because we're all like giving the benefit of the doubt to Graham Harrell because he was a good quarterback that we like to watch play.
Right.
Versus a guy like, you know, name the guy that you've never heard of that played D3 that may be way better.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I think, I do think that's where this hiring, I'm okay with them taking a little bit of time with it to find the right guy.
Except that signing day is in 5 days.
Right. But you're, I would hope they're signing because they, and yeah, I know this is, I deal with it on a daily basis, trust me.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we're having a signing event at Elite Football on Wednesday. So I know.
Yeah.
You're hoping that they're signing because they want to get a good education.
They're not.
I know, but you're also signing for Coach Odom.
Your hopes
right?
are dashed.
But you're also signing for Coach Odom, and you're hoping that you get to play a year with Drew Locke. You get to play. You have a chance to play early.
I can
and
tell you this,
play for an for at least an SEC
I'm not signing as a quarterback or a significant offensive contributor without an offensive coordinator.
But it, that
I'm not telling you I won't go. I'll wait till February though. So any chance you had of signing me right now is gone.
Well, I'll tell you this, though. It won't matter because 90% of Mizzou's class will sign Wednesday.
Really?
Yeah.
90%?
At least 90% will sign Wednesday.
Wow.
You'll see that. That'll be a trend around college
You think
football.
That'll be nationally? Because this is the first year of this
you
early
will see,
signing
You
period.
Will see. Well, and it screwed this class. It screwed the 2019 class because these guys, or 18 class, excuse me, these guys didn't have a chance to get the five visits that the 2019 class can start taking their official visits in April. Of 2019, so they'll have the spring to take those visits, mm-hmm. as opposed to this group that has to sign early. Most of those guys only got two or three, maybe one visit, and some of those guys
Here's news, you need one.
Right, well, you do need one, but you'd like to be able, you don't want to marry the first girl you walk in and, you know, you kiss her on Friday night,
yeah,
and
but you
she
can
says,
go on
let's get married on Monday.
You know, it's a...
Maybe, but there are some people that come in late, and that's just part of the game.
It's true.
This class, I put this on a tweet the other day, and we can come back to it in 2 or 3 years. The 2019 or 18 class in 2019, we'll see more transfers than any other time we will because there's going to be guys that signed that won't fit. You're going to see some guys that have the gray shirt that have no choice because these big schools that scholarships are already gone. They won't save any, but they're going to get a 4 or 5 star that commit that they didn't expect to commit. And then they're going to have to bump a guy that thinks he's got a scholarship right now. He'll have to wait until the fall of 19, this time next year. So he'll have to sit out almost a year to get a gray shirt.
I see. So you're saying there are going to be recruits who are going to sign early
right now
because they want
basically,
to get a spot at a school.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
And then they might not have it.
They
might
basically, not have everybody it. Becomes Alabama of 3 years ago.
Yes, correct. And so it's going to be, I mean, this will shake the NCAA up. And now the good schools, I think, will hold back 3 or 4 scholarships just because you're looking at that. But there are a lot of schools that aren't. They're
That's
just
only
gonna,
the top schools, though. You're 100% right.
So they want to lock it in.
So you think pretty much all the Power 5 schools will sign at least 60-70% of their class
next
week?
I'll go not 85 to
85
90%.
To 90% of the Power 5.
I think you'll see – you might see some that will have – if they have 20 scholarships, they'll sign all 20 and just
really
yep
wow
because then that's locked up now they're done now they can start working
yeah,
on the
yeah what
19
happens
and 20
if
plus.
You get more guys though then you find a way to kick 3 guys off
well that's and that's what I'm saying
before February
that's just there's parts of it I like there's parts of it I hate I think ultimately and it's an experiment ultimately what it will I think will come take place. Is they'll merge it into one, and it'll be like mid-January.
Yeah.
That's what they need to do.
It's the Final Drive, 590 The Fan, InsideSTL.com. With us now in studio here in Kirkwood is Mike Watcher. He's the manager of the Kirkwood Brew House next door. How are you, Mike?
Good, good. Happy Friday, guys.
Yeah, you too. Getting close to the holiday season. What's going on over at the Brew House?
Yeah, same old busy Friday. We've got the happy hour kicking in right now, getting ready for the weekend. We've got some holiday events happening over the next couple of weeks. But,
tell us about them.
Well, that'd be just groups coming in, happy hours, lunches, dinners. There are definitely some spots available if need be. We typically don't take reservations on weekends, but weekdays and lunches, be more than happy to accommodate you when we can.
So if you have a Christmas party, maybe for your workplace, and you've got, how many people are we talking about?
It depends on the time of the day, but I would say comfortably anywhere from 10 to 20.
10 to 20. So they can just call you up that day, say, hey, I want to have a Christmas party today or tomorrow or the next day, 10 to 20 people, and you guys can accommodate them.
Most likely. A little more advanced notice would be more welcome, but we always do our best to accommodate.
Absolutely. And what about the holiday drink specials? I know you guys got a lot of beers always on tap.
Right, right. We've got anywhere from some really nice pilsners from some Missouri craft breweries to some stouts. We've got Big Walt from O'Fallon Brewery.
Lager.
Yeah. So a little blues theme there going on. We've got Burr Oak out of Columbia, Missouri, Old 63 Pilsner. It's very delicious, nice lighter beer, all the way to Modern Brewery's Chocolate Coffee Stout, Arkham's Finest, they call it. It's very delicious.
We love it over there. Make sure you check it out, the Kirkwood Brew House, this holiday season. Give everybody the address and the phone number, Mike.
Yes, thank you. The address is 10312 Manchester Road. That's Kirkwood, Missouri, 63122, if you need the zip code. And the phone number is area code 314-394-1365.
There you go. We'll talk to you again next week, Mike. Thank you very much. And we'll see you at the brew house. We're
absolutely
always there.
All right. Thank you. Have a great weekend.
That's Mike Watry, the manager of the Kirkwood Brew House. We're going to talk to Todd Furman coming up next, former oddsmaker at Caesar's Palace, as we get set for a big weekend of NFL games. Lots of really good matchups. We'll break them down with Todd, let you know where you should invest your money. This is the Final Drive, 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.